live from the Findlay Toyota Studios. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Here we go. 5 o'clock hour. Wheeler Ramirez is here. Steve Cofield. Giveaway time. Five Finger Death Punch with Marilyn Manson coming up on September 8th. So just a few days away. MGM Grand Garden Arena. AXS.com where you can get the tickets. Caller 7-364-1100. 364-1100. Five Finger Death Punch. And Marilyn Manson. All right, Willie. A lot of football to get to this hour. Remind everyone, the Barry Odom radio show after a big win on the road in the Big 12. Is coming up at 6 o'clock, Parkway Tavern, 215 and Flamingo. 6 o'clock, $2 Miller Lights during the hour. Giveaways, I can't promise that Coach Odom is going to take pictures and kiss babies, but he did a lot of it last week.
Will you?
You know, I'm working, man. I got to focus.
Wow.
I know. I mean, I'm curmudgeonly. I know. I will tell
how
you.
How non-Caitlin Clark of you.
Yeah, she's better than me.
Well,
a lot more popular, too.
Yeah.
A lot more popular. So we got the coach show coming up in about 58 minutes. All right.
How Cheryl Swoops of you.
So speaking of college football, UNLV's gotten out of the gates with a nice start. Barry Odom was talking about, hey, you know, getting votes in the top 25 is important. He does pay attention now. It's a new system. They got to do their business all year, right? They probably can't lose more than two games. It probably has to be one game. So this is a long road, but it's a good start. The defense set a tone. The offense showed a lot of promise. Looks like the quarterback position is in good hands. Hopefully Matt Sluka isn't injured at some point. He's going to run a lot, but they got, I think, pretty good backups. I saw a couple of brackets already, and I know these are just discussion points. They're fun to look at, but it's a long season. UNLV in the 12-hole in the college football playoff bracket. What do you want to tell people who are getting all juiced up, Willie?
Well, the New York Post put out that story. 2024, the headline, 2024 college football predictions. Why UNLV will surprise and make the CFP. Here's the thing. I'm not hating on UNLV, but we're talking about being one of the 12 best teams in the nation, correct?
Well, we're talking about being the best group of five team in the
best
nation.
Best group of five team in the nation.
Right.
Pump the brakes. They beat a team that is supposed to finish near or at the bottom of the Big 12. I will admit that the defense did exactly what it was supposed to do against a team that is not going to do anything. By the way, a team that had an offer on the table for the coach and the offensive coordinator of the current UNLV Rebels regime. Okay, we know that. Now, this week is Utah Tech. What is everybody going to say after they go to Kansas? And if they get hammered. Now, if they're competitive, that's what you want to see. But if they get hammered, how many people are going to go, well, wait a minute. That's a Big 12 team. That's a powerhouse. We're going to give them a pass. Okay, if you're going to do that or credit them for the scheduling of where they're in terms of whatever happens against Kansas, then you have to take in consideration the opponent last week and this week. So let's see what happens in weeks 3 and 4 against Kansas and Syracuse, right? Syracuse is right after Kansas. Before we start jumping the gun and putting this team into a playoff bracket when just 17 minutes ago, this was one of the worst programs in America. I'm not trying to hate on, smack down, punch down, the new thing on
Cofield and Company. I like that motion.
That's not what we're doing to Barry Odom and his staff and the UNLV football program.
Yes. Fresno is in between those games.
Kansas
before,
and Syracuse. Okay.
Before Syracuse. There were some people asking, like Matt Sluka, about the playoffs. And he answered it perfectly. He's like, I'm not looking ahead of the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's such a long season.
And that is
the ultimate coach speech, that it's next opponent. If you start looking ahead,
right,
then those are the games you lose. And I got to tell you, in prior regimes, that was one of the things that they had trouble with. There were moments in the Tony Sanchez era where you were like, hey, they might get the 6 or 7 wins, and there inevitably there was a game along the way where maybe they didn't look focused, they got caught, they got a little too cocky. Arroyo, they had problems winning close games. Yeah, it's one game at a time, especially at a program like this. You finally made a bowl game. The CFP is just like the ultimate dream,
yeah.
But this is a B of a schedule with some really tough road games. Just focus on what you got to focus on.
I will say that I do like Barry Odom. I like the fact that he comes out and said, you know, yeah, I think that we should be recognized as a top 25 team. We should get the votes, so on and so forth. I love that attitude because you're instilling confidence, and they're playing with the mentality of, well, and we said this last year, actually, and I asked you this on shows leading up to week one, saying, Steve, we're hearing that the mentality out at camp is more like a Power 5 program, like an SEC program. The sort of the mindset of being coached-like and programmed-like and disciplined-like an SEC program. So if you're going to walk that walk, talk that talk, you're probably going to get the product that you want. Yeah. Then you get the conference crown, then you get to the championship game, and then you could talk about the playoff. But right now, it's safe for the coach to say, yeah, we should be getting votes. I think that it's fair to say that. But everyone else that's putting them, throwing them in the bracket right off the bat, let's just pump the brakes.
And while top 25 rankings are going to be important as the season goes along, right now they really are worthless.
But those, but wait a minute. People, AP and the coaches' rankings have nothing to do with the playoff. Those are done by people, not computers.
Good point. It is a committee. Yeah, but the committee is affected by. They're not going to freaking jump. You know, it's not going to. Hey, number 24 all of a sudden is number 8. We're gonna go on our own judgment, our own eye test.
True, but I don't think that the rankings matter as much when it comes to the playoff bracket in college football. I don't think that they care about AP and college ranking. I think there's too much of a bravado of we'll decide. But the rankings are good for the team's morale because they're going to play to that level. They're rising to the level of the coaching staff right now. And if they get votes, they're going to rise to the level of that. It just moves on. So,
but there's nothing wrong with having expectations.
No.
And the expectation is they can handle Utah Tech from St. George easily this weekend. Cool ticket specials. Season tickets still available. As low as $150 a seat. You get 6 games for that. $350 in the club seating, UNLVtickets.com, where you can get the season tickets. And they're hoping, right, to build on the momentum from a year ago. And I would love to see them at some point in some big games this year get 35 or 40,000. We'll see. We just saw 60. I mean, how crazy was that on Labor Day, right? Two mega programs, a great traveling program in LSU, and USC fans up, and they've got all the money in the world, and they get 63, whatever it was, 8.
The biggest crowd of anything.
Yep.
They put it on the screen, not just sporting events. They threw the Garth Brooks concert up there. So biggest crowd of any event in Allegiant Stadium, USC, LSU. I was walking around that field, walking around the perimeter.
And you got some good shots.
Game.
How about that? Was that a USC touchdown right in front of you? I thought you were going to tackle the guy.
That was an LSU guy. That was what
I was LSU, about. Right.
He held it in, that incredible catch. And then I got the game winning. Threw them up on TikTok.
Nice.
TikTok.
Willie
TikTok.
G. Ramirez. With two Z's.
It's the new buzz.
What while you're telling UNLV fans not to overreact, what would you tell SC fans especially off that win?
Different opponent.
Okay, well, their goals, because now they're number 13 in the poll. USC, their goals are to get into the playoff, win national championships.
Right, but they're supposed to be competing for a spot in the bracket, at considering the program that it is, and now you beat an SEC team. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking about that. I mean, that's a completely different thing.
It
UNLV beat a team that is supposed to do nothing in the Big 12.
I understand.
So just in general?
Well, what I'm saying is now their expectations go way up because they beat LSU.
Yeah, I think
so. Where do they? What's their record after 12 games?
Oh well, I don't know about after 12 because they got to run. They got to run through the Big Ten, the mighty Big Ten.
I'll tell you, is it mighty? That's the question. That was what I was asking all summer.
Oh, okay.
Is USC and especially Oregon and a little bit of Washington and UCLA's got to get a little better? Are they going to go in and teach the Big Ten a lesson, or are they going to get punched in the freaking face and the Big Ten's going to teach them a lesson?
That remains to be seen because we got to see the flash and pizzazz of the Pac-12 style play now in the Big Ten, the physical smash mouth style football from the Midwest, which side's going to win? Now, I'll tell you right now, I was highly impressed with the same thing with UNLV, right? The hype up about the offense. I was impressed with the defense of UNLV. I was impressed with the defense of USC. And I love what the mindset that came in with what they did with USC in terms of a lot of off-the-field programming and the approach that they were doing away from the field during the offseason to get these guys light on their feet, aggressive, agility, nutrition in the weight room, so on and so forth. So the defense is what impressed me with both of those programs.
Yep. Okay. Next four games. Got to reset mentally. USC home against Utah State.
Win.
At Michigan.
Ask me after Michigan plays Texas.
Then they come back after that. Home Wisconsin. Tyler Van Dyke did not look great for Wisconsin
at
quarterback.
They beat Wisconsin at home. They'll beat Wisconsin in the Coliseum.
Have to win games like this. At Minnesota.
Yes.
Because you wouldn't answer, I'm saying you say a loss against Michigan.
That's a big game. I mean, okay. You know,
so
I just
4-1 after Minnesota.
Of course, I just went and toured Ann Arbor in the facility. But no, that's a tough game. But you have to take into consideration what they do against Texas. I think you do.
Yeah, it's a big impression that Michigan's going to lay down. Then they play home against Penn State. There's really no cold weather spots on the schedule. At Maryland, October 19th. I mean, long shot that it'll be, you know.
Chilly.
Yeah. Could be nice. Yeah. I mean, this is a loss. Rutgers at home. That's a tough one. A lot of power football. At Washington, home Nebraska, at UCLA, and then home Notre Dame. That's the great thing about the schedule.
And, hey.
They're not putting on a freaking long-sleeve shirt the entire season.
Hey, you just said something that I want you to think about. Mm-hmm. Those road games, and you mentioned cold weather. Those October, November meetings, mid-Pac-12, yeah. When they went to Notre Dame and playing a Big Ten-style football team like Notre Dame. So they're used to these games. Not wholly, but
right. So
the Michigan game, if they look at it like that.
Well, the point is they don't have to – like that was the whole thing. Like, oh, it's going to be windy and cold. Like they got the schedule,
yeah.
The
That's
perfect schedule.
We've been doing that since we were kids. Thanksgiving, but Turkey Bowl.
Oh, okay.
You didn't go out there when you were a kid, did the turkey? I mean, that was the big thing. I mean, playing in the wind and the cold.
So what do you think he's saying by not saying USC? 10-2? Is that what Willie just said? 10-2?
Oh, 10-2 is that's a pretty good schedule for a guy for a team that just lost Caleb Williams, man.
You didn't say that.
What if Jaden Maeva play?
Yes, at some point in the season.
Okay.
It's almost impossible for a quarterback to stay upright the entire season. Yeah. Not because of poor play by Miller Moss. He's pretty good.
He is. He was really good.
Okay.
He was – Mark McMillan, our guy, Grillin McMillan, was really happy. I can never remember the kid's name, so I just shot myself in the foot. But he's close with a safety on the team, family friend. And so I was live on TikTok and following Mark around for the celebration, and I edited it and gave it to him, and he tweeted it out, put it on his social media. But it was a really cool moment for those two, and they embraced.
USC 8-4. 8-4 is a push. Take the over? We doing this?
Why are you trying to suck me in all the time? I'll take it over.
Overreaction time is when you make bets.
Push is a win because that basically what you're saying is they're going to go 7-5 or worse.
But I get 8-4 push.
Oh, I got to give you the push.
We both.
So push is a wash.
We get 8-4 as a push.
Push
is a wash. I need 7 or lower. You need 9 or more. That's a good bet. You're very confident.
It's a good bet because they're really probably going to eight.
You think about it.
All right.
I'm not gonna press
you.
We'll
will revisit this Friday.
We will. Yes.
We have to have it done by Friday.
Yes. Okay. You'll be with us at Treasure Island. Okay. But we're going to have a lot of bets. Now, will we keep track of them? Probably not. Oh, JBT's back. He can do the spreadsheet again.
I'm 0-1.
He's
going to
be more of a regular on the show.
I'm 0-1. I never forget what I owe. I'm 0-1.
I don't trust you, though. What you owe, but a lot of times the terms.
What did you just say? Of all people, what did you just say?
So let's talk mac and cheese in Houston. I'm kidding. I just wanted to get you off the topic before you. No, you're definitely not a Welch at all. Or Welsh. You're not.
You guys make so many bets. I'm going to start documenting. I'm going to get it down. I'll be the
only one
guy.
Person's the official documenter. It's Von
Right Bobble. Now, we have two bets. We have two bets in terms of one is done, confirmed, cashed from two seasons ago. I owe him a meal.
Still hasn't
and
paid
one
it.
Is on the still live. Aces, 28-12.
Yeah.
They got to go 7-0 down the stretch. By Friday, we will have decided on USC's win total.
Willie says, what are the realistic expectations for the Raiders' new starting quarterback? I say, I mean, this is kind of a deep question.
I didn't say that. That's
Minshew,
a headline.
Do we just do straight numbers? Just like season numbers? You want to do yards and touchdowns?
If we're going to do yards and touchdowns.
This is not a bet. Like, everything doesn't have to be.
We're I'm just, not doing a
you
bet.
You ask, what are the realistic expectations for the Raiders starting quarterback?
Go ahead. Give me your.
Minshew at quarterback a lot of the time. Minshew starts at least 14 of 17.
Yes.
My expectation is 8-9. He doesn't, all bets are off. But this is not a bet.
It's not a bet.
Right.
Gardner Minshew.
It's not a bet. I'm just doing the record.
Gardner Minshew will, for this third time in his career, second straight year, pass for 3,000 yards.
Okay, so you just totally did, you did a different measure, but that's fine.
I'm going to give you a win total when I'm done.
I feel like you're more, I don't know, you're blustery today because of this new deal you cut with TikTok.
I didn't cut any
deals.
He has
a deal, right?
I don't have an
NIL. He's like dropping her name.
I don't have an ideal yet.
You got a sponsor?
This is helping for ESPN Las Vegas and Cofield and Company.
Yes, it's gonna help give Griffin a lot more work, so thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
listen, when I'm getting peppered at 2 a.m. with instant messages and I wake up and I've got unteen things from ESPN and Cofield and Company,
yep.
So this just
it never stops. The show never stops.
3,000 yards, 15 touchdowns. 9-8.
Wow. Okay. How many? What touchdowns?
15.
Wow. That seems low. 9-8. I think he throws more than 15.
Well,
I'm just. Okay. We'll continue.
I'm looking
this.
At his.
We're going to build this for Friday.
Okay.
We're going to build this for Friday.
All right. Just so the listeners know, when the rundown comes across, Steve will have it written that goes, "We're revisiting." Willie says 4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, and 10-7. Because you know that he embellishes.
It's all recorded.
If you look up embellish in the thesaurus, Cofield's face is right there.
You question Steve Cofield's integrity. You question this show's integrity.
That's not embellishing and integrity are completely two different things. That has nothing to do with integrity.
I'm going to keep track. I'll keep track. Even though John Von Tobel is going to officially be the tracker. Yeah, I'll be backup.
Is anyone betting the Raiders to win the Super Bowl? What are you hearing at sportsbooks?
I haven't heard that. I haven't, other than probably just fans. I don't think any sharps are betting the Raiders to win the
okay.
Super Bowl.
What did Dewey say over at the RJ?
I have to look it up. Hang on.
What's happening?
They're
here?
Facing, and the sportsbacks are facing a huge liability because of the high odds. So I mean, I think the natural thing for people to do, fans wise, is you're going and betting 200, 300 to 1, whatever they are, the higher odds.
Lottery ticket.
I like doing that with teams between, which I haven't looked at, 40 to 80 to 1, sometimes to win their conference. Because once you get them in the playoffs, you get a surprise team, you can start hedging the opposite way just to get your bet back, and now you're sitting on a nice prize ticket. The best one that I've ever done, when I was doing some sports betting shows, when webisodes first started, internet TV, and I mentioned two AFC teams and two NFC teams that were higher than 18-1 was, I had mentioned, I think, Pittsburgh and the Chargers and Arizona and maybe the Packers back then. I don't remember. But Pittsburgh and Arizona ended up in the Super Bowl. It's not like I do, you know, anything special. But the point is, you know, you try to isolate those big, big dogs, and then you have a ticket that's live. I've completely shot myself in the foot two straight years in the WNBA. I didn't do it this year, but because I was really high on the Sparks. Was it last year or the year before? Anyway, so yeah. By the way, let's get a on that note. 62-59, 2:26 left in the third quarter. Your Indiana Fever over the Los Angeles Sparks.
That was out of nowhere.
I said Sparks. It reminded me that I saw the halftime score, and I wanted to let you know. So, yeah. Okay. Anyway, Raiders 101 long shots at the Westgate Sportsbook to win the Super Bowl, and they're at a big liability if they were to win it.
So this all leads to the Big Willie question of the day. What's more likely? Griffin's going first.
Okay.
There's pressure on him. He doesn't even get a chance to think about it, although it's been on the rundown for 5 hours. UNLV football goes to the college football playoff, or the Raiders go to the NFL playoffs?
Oh, UNLV's going to the college football playoff before these Raiders see the playoffs. I promise you that.
Wow. It's my question, so answer it.
He backs off, takes a long drink. Barry Odom Radio Show is coming up. 6 o'clock, Parkway Tavern.
You ready for my answer? 2:15
and Flamingo. I'll be lead hosting that with Caleb Herring. I mean, of course, UNLV. No, the Raiders have a better chance to make the playoffs. What UNLV is facing is tough. It doesn't mean it's not attainable. They won a lot of close games last year. Their training staff was amazing, and they suffered injuries at the very end of the season. It's a tough road. And there's also a perception deal, and I also believe they're up against it. They're in the best group of five conference. I've said this all summer. The Mountain West Conference is going to beat the snot out of each other, and you have lower conferences, and I don't trust the committee to pass on an unbeaten or one-loss team out of the smaller conferences and reward a 2 or 3-loss team out of the Mountain West Conference.
Okay.
So I think they can have a big season. I just don't – I think the pressure is on. They almost have to be freaking perfect. So long story short, Raiders can get in. I mean, are they going to get in at 9-8? Probably not. You got 7 slots now.
No, 8-9. You said 8-9.
Well, this is a different question.
Oh, I see. Different records. For
right. You're
question.
Right. You're right. Yes. Me jumping from 8-9 to 9-8 or 10-7 to make the playoffs is not that big a leap.
Okay.
UNLV overcoming this schedule with all these Friday games and the committee – and I don't mean this in a bad way. I don't trust them. I was going to call them morons, and I don't mean that because they're not, but I don't trust them.
I don't think either one is happening, but the reality is it's more likely that UNLV is going to the college football playoff before the Raiders are going to the playoffs.
Wow, Willie Ramirez, the one Raiders, of the lead guys on the Raider beat. Wow, you're not going to be allowed in that room.
I'm just saying.
Big Hondo is going to block the door. I like that right there.
He's the least of my worries.
He's very hobbled.
First of all, I just think it's very tough to get into the playoffs in general with a record. I mean, I think that the Raiders, coming out of the AFC West, you have to have 11, 12 wins. You're talking about the 2-time defending Super Bowl champs that are going for a three-peat. I think it's going to be tough to overcome that. And I think if UNLV can get through these first 5 games, because you reminded me that Fresno was sandwiched, but if they can get through that and be competitive against Kansas and then run the gamut that nobody thought that they were going to run last year and get back into the Mountain West Conference Championship with the chip on their shoulder, they'll make a strong case before the Raiders would make the playoffs. Do I think either's going to happen? Probably not, but I like UNLV shot better. California.
Mr. LA, Mr. Vegas, Arash Markazi joins Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, we are back, Cofield and Company, on hump day, final stretch of the show, getting ready to jump in with Mr. Hawaii, Mr. LA, Mr. Vegas, Mr. Everything in just a minute. Don't forget, coming up at the top of the hour, the Coach's Show, Barry Odom Coach's Show, live from Parkway Tavern on West Flamingo. So make sure you jump up there, check it out. Great menu, and of course, great show hosted by Caleb Herring and our own Steve Cofield. Cofield will be up there hosting that. So make sure you head out to Barry Odom's Coach's Show at Parkway Tavern, West Flamingo. Right now, joining us on the hotline here from the Finley studio at ESPN Lotus Broadcasting. Arash Markazi, sir, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, Willie. How are you?
Well, you know, I didn't even know where you were. I never know where you're at. I see the different, I mean, all I see are airplane wings, clouds, and stadiums. And then I come out of the restroom in the Allegiant Stadium press box, and boom, I run into Arash Markazi. There he is.
Yeah, listen, it was, it took its toll on me, as you can hear to my voice still, doing the Hawaii to Vegas red eye for UCLA's home, UCLA's first game of the season against Hawaii, which they won. And then USC surprising everyone, including you, Willie, with a big win over Louisiana State.
Let's talk about UCLA. Two fourth quarter field goals needed to win. Bruins in for a rough season, or what's going on? Let's start with them.
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's going to be a rough season for them. I think it's the talent's not quite there. I think they would have struggled regardless of if they were in the old Pac-12 and certainly now in the Big Ten. I just, you know, watching them against Hawaii, which, you know, is not a great team, the offense didn't look good. I think that was the most surprising thing, Willie. I thought defensively they lost 9 of 11 guys from a very good defense a year ago. On the offensive side of the ball, I thought they would have been a little bit more improved. But, it is the first game of the season. But that being said, I mean, I've seen them enough kind of go through practice where I don't think that this will be a very good team.
All right, flip side of that, of course, for UNLV fans, coming up at the top of the hour is the coaches show, as you heard, and the Sporting Tribune covers Hawaii. How competitive is this Mountain West squad, this Hawaii Rainbow Warriors, from what you saw?
Listen, they are a gritty team. They are a tough team. I mean, obviously, that they're a team that, with Timmy Chang is going to fight. It's a fun environment, that stadium that they have on campus. You know, it's not a lot of people that go to those games, but they are a gritty group. And so I think defensively will be a very good team. I think, obviously, Timmy wants to, to throw the ball. I don't love the quarterback situation that they have, but I think that will be a team that will fight and claw and will be a competitive team.
Yeah, they opened up the season with a 35-14 win against Delaware State. Of course, Delaware State with those flight issues. And then a tough, hard-fought loss against UCLA, 16-13. So they've allowed 15 points over the first 2 weeks. They go to Sam Houston next. And then they host Northern Iowa before opening up Mountain West play. And you can get all of that coverage at the Sporting Tribune, of course, covering everything from L.A., covering Vegas and Hawaii. All right, let's talk about the game that was here at Allegiant Stadium. We were both at USC and Texas. USC and LSU. How excited are you based on what you saw from the Trojans, who were not supposed to win that game?
You know, the biggest thing, Willie, is that they have a defense. And yes. I know that was they really prided themselves on defense during the heyday of Pete Carroll. But that defense was non-existent the first 2 years under Lincoln Riley. I mean, when you go back to, the Pac-12 championship game against Utah, which they lost, you give up over 50 points and over 500 yards. And then you go to the Cotton Bowl against Tulane. Once again, you give up over, close to 50 points. Over 500 yards. I mean, it's a low bar to say, can we keep it below that number? So it was amazing, it didn't take very long to see them get big stops on third down, fourth down, big plays, get the pick to close out the game. So, if you have a Lincoln Riley coached offense combined with a stout defense, that is going to be a contending team.
I really like the stories that I read about what the defensive coordinator, of course, he comes over from UCLA. What, remind me his name?
De'Anton Lynn. He is son of Anthony Lynn, the former coach of the Chargers.
He comes in and his first thing is, here's what we're going to do, and he takes each kid, basically. I mean, he gets into their nutrition and their training and their weight room activity and building up their agility and focusing on their conditioning and their strength before they even step on the field. And I thought that was just impressive for the fact that, hey, we want to build – it's almost like tearing you down, rebuilding you, and getting you ready for a rugged Big Ten campaign.
100%. I mean, the beautiful thing that he's really done is, he's put these kids in position where they can succeed. And there is a trust, you know, there is a trust level that they have. I mean, they really brought in an entirely new defensive coaching staff, not just the coordinator, but the defensive line coach, the linebacker, defensive backs. And so give credit to Lincoln Riley. I mean, he really should have done that following the Cotton Bowl, to be honest. But, you know, again, if they have a stout defense, they're going to score points. I mean, as you saw, like the playmakers that they have on offense, they're going to score. So if they can make big stops, which, Willie, when I tell you, like, they didn't, like, they were just one of the worst tackling defenses in the country the last two seasons. So, I mean, if that's been fixed and they can score, they're going to contend.
Yeah, I really like the physicality that they play with and the confidence that they came out, the bravado that they play with against, you know, a name, obviously, from SEC in terms of the LSU Tigers. All right, let's get to the most important thing about your trip to Hawaii and then back to Vegas for this game, media food. Loco Moco to what Allegiant served. We're going to need ratings, breakdown, and who won.
Well, listen, I mean, they both were heavy on the rice. So at Allegiant, I think, was the black bean rice with the pork or chicken or whatever.
Yeah.
Very comparable, actually. But give me the Loco Moco. I mean, it is a Hawaiian tradition. It is a Hawaiian favorite. So, listen, I'm going to have to, like, give the slight edge to the Loco Moco because of the name. It's such a cute name, right? You gotta give the edge to the Loco Moco. But I've told people, Allegiant Stadium on an NFL Sunday, hands down, best food in the league.
All right, so let's transition that. Did you tweet out a lumpia bucket last week at a Dodgers game?
Wait, what was that?
I said, let's transition, stick it to food. Did you tweet out a lumpia box? Was that your tweet? Oh, no, that was actually, you know
familiar.
What? That was the base. The Dodgers tweeted it. Major League Baseball shared it. I'm just looking at the rundown here, and then I just looked at the tweet itself. The Dodgers unveil a special edition Olympia bucket. It was for Filipino Heritage Night. Were you there?
I was not, but I love that bucket. I mean, you know, I do have to commend the Dodgers. I mean, when you walk around Dodger Stadium now, they have a lot of treats if you're from Japan. You know, they've really done a good job of catering towards the melting pot that is the Los Angeles sports fan.
You are heavy, obviously, L.A. You're from L.A., and you've covered L.A. sports for many years. The Shohei experience and coverage with the Dodgers versus when he was with the Angels. As we head into the final stretch of the baseball season, your summarization of that?
Well, I mean, it's night and day, you know, because when you're on the A team, I mean, like, you're just covered more. And so it is every day is no joke. I mean, it is like a postseason game in that clubhouse. And so, I mean, it's hard to get a credential. It's hard to get a seat in the press box. It's hard to get around him post-game. And so, but even the season that he's having, Willie, I mean, historic season. I mean, like, we knew he wasn't going to pitch this season. So how was he going to bat? How was he going to play? To be the sixth player in MLB history to get to 40-40, and will very likely this month be the first player in history to get to 50-50. It's surreal. So, again, finally he's on the best team in baseball, at least standings-wise, going into the postseason, playing significant games in October. This is what he wanted.
Arash Markazi, the Sporting Tribune, and, of course, the mayor of L.A., Honolulu, and Las Vegas. It's amazing that you hold those titles in all three cities. Let's talk about the redesign just for a minute at the Sporting Tribune and how the reception has been over the first month of once the official launch, month and a half or so, if you will. And then what we can expect here, because we're into college football, right? We got week two coming up, NFL week one, crunch time with the baseball playoffs. And then, of course, the WNBA, the hype of everything, and just how you've sort of embraced and wrapped that around with the new Sporting Tribune.
Yeah, I mean, we really tried to have every team covered properly with a live feed, a live in-game content, so you can kind of get, like, that play-by-play and, you know, chat with our reporters as well. So, you know, we're continuing to grow this month, September 22nd, will be 2 years. So you know, sometimes it feels like we've been around for like a long time. But, you know, with the help of, you know, guys like you and Steve Carr, another very talented journalist, you know, just finding a way to cover what I believe is the most important region in sports, again, not just Las Vegas, but that 270 miles that connect Los Angeles and Vegas and all the big events that are going to be coming there and that have come there.
All right, brother. I appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on. You're back the week of UFC and Canelo, correct?
That's right. I'll be back soon.
All right. I will see you. We'll do an old school Vegas dinner. Appreciate you jumping on, Arash. We'll let you go. Arash Markazi, Sporting Tribune.
You're the best. Talk to you soon. Bye.
All right. That is Arash Markazi doing his weekly spot, always jumping on, giving the goods, covering Hawaii, L.A., and Vegas on the Sporting Tribune. All right. Before we go to Griffin, let's do a giveaway. You do a giveaway, and we'll come back with the grab bag.
Absolutely. So we have two tickets available for the Los Angeles Lakers versus Golden State Warriors, October 15th at T-Mobile Arena. Caller 7 right now, 702-364-1100. Call in. Do not miss this opportunity to see two of the most iconic NBA teams go at it at T-Mobile Arena here in Las Vegas on October 15th.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
All right, welcome back to Cofield and Company. Willie Ramirez, joined with Griffin as we close things up. Don't forget, coming up top of the hour, Parkway Tavern, Barry Odom Show at Flamingo in 215 every Wednesday. So make sure you check it out. $2 Miller Lights during the show from 6 to 7. Football game days, $5 shots and drafts, $6 cocktails, pitchers and bucket specials too. Buy one, get one, breakfast, 7 to 11 a.m. So go check out Parkway Tavern. Be there, get there, on the way. If you're just leaving work, turn the car around, head to Parkway Tavern. Flamingo and 215 for the Barry Odom Show. Let's get in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
All right, Griffin. As you know, as you've come to learn, I always say, what day is it? We normally will do it earlier in the show, but Steve saved it for the grab bag. So a couple of days today. It is I did a don't care, can't care, definitely care. Today's Beyonce's birthday. Do you care?
No.
I don't care either. Eat an extra dessert day. It's National Eat an Extra Dessert Day. I can't care. How about you?
Yeah, I think there's not going to be a lot of controversy on these because that one, I can't care. I can't gain that weight. I can't be that heavy. I wish I could, but I can't.
Yeah, and I'm on a – okay, so here's the thing. We speak fitness language, you and I, together. I am on a caloric deficit of about 900 calories. And it was cold turkey drop from my personal trainer. Mm-hmm. She went from like 2,800 to around 2,000 and change. Cut 40 grams of fat and 100 grams of carbs from what I was used to. I was doing 200 protein, 85 fat, 300 carbs. So now it's an immediate cut. First weekend, down 3 pounds.
Ooh, congrats. That's good progress right there.
Yeah. So one of the things I love is sweets. So like the other day in the press box, I just ignored all the sweets. The only thing is if I'm low carb and I haven't hit my number, I have like gummies or sours or something that doesn't have fat, licorice.
Right.
And I'll just throw down to satisfy the sweet tooth. And avoid the fat. The one thing we definitely care about, I care about at least, not just today, but this month, it is National Suicide Prevention Month, so just want to throw that out there. You know what? Be kind. Send an extra hello. How are you doing? You never know what your fellow friend, person, anybody, stranger is going through. Very important to recognize it is National Suicide Prevention Month. I don't know if you've ever been affected, but I have definitely been affected by friends who have taken their lives.
Absolutely. I've experienced it in my life. It's something that everybody should be aware of. Everybody should be spreading the word about. Everyone should be looking out for their friends, family, just strangers on the street even. You know, you never know what anybody's going through.
All right. Let's keep it upbeat. We give that shout out back in the back.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
All right. So you sent this out. Mm-hmm. Did we care about this show back in the day? ESPN's The Sports Reporter is returning as a YouTube channel show. And we'll feature Jeremy Schapp. Of course, that show started with his father, Dick Schapp.
Mm-hmm.
So, did you not like that show when it was on?
I was not aware of this show.
Oh, okay.
I just I came across it on social media. I think it might have been, the original announcement of the show coming back. No, even though I wasn't aware of it beforehand, I think I do care about this show. I do. I'll probably make an effort to catch it because I believe, a lot of people who try to get into the career field you and I are in,
right.
Inspiration is important. It's important to be continuously, stay on the grind and everything else, put in the work, but just get inspired a little bit, see what it's like to be in the position you're trying to work towards, get a little taste of what you want to be doing and see exactly what the life is like.
Well, for context, back in the day, it was, hosted by Jeremy Schapp's father, Dick Schapp, who's world renowned, and he would moderate a panel of sports reporters, and it was on Sunday mornings, and they would sit around and they would discuss the topics, just like a sports talk show in general. Mm-hmm. But you had some of the top reporters in the nation joining him, and it would be in the form of a TV show, and they would go over it, and it would just be them sitting on the dais, if you will, but in comfortable chairs, sort of a living room setting, if you will. And then as it transitioned and Jeremy Schapp, his son, took over, same format. So mm-hmm. Now it looks like they're bringing it back, but doing it on YouTube. Boy, YouTube taking over, right? They're jumping into this. They're jumping into the NFL. They're jumping. They're grabbing a lot of viewers.
If you, if anybody who wants to be big or be big on social media, it doesn't matter. Instagram's great. Twitter following, great. But hey, if you don't have those YouTube numbers, you really ain't doing much.
I don't have those YouTube numbers. I'm trying to drum up the TikTok numbers and get some viewers on TikTok, and then. And I think that's the next step, is getting the shorts, right? That's a big thing, is the YouTube shorts.
It's all just one big web. It all feeds into each other. You got the Instagram. You want the Instagram to be plugged into the YouTube. You want the Twitter. Great content on Twitter, but plug it back to that YouTube.
Now, aren't there apps where you can just load it into the app and it sends it out?
I'm sure there is. I'm sure. But, there's a lot of kids. There's a lot of young adults and even older people now who have gotten into this space, and they've kind of just done it by hand. They've just done the work of switching app to app to app to app to app.
Know who's good at that is our engineer James.
Oh, really?
Because he and I actually talked, and he sent me a long time ago with an idea that I had. I actually have a social media specialist coming over to my house to consult before Friday's show earlier to talk about what I want to do on TikTok.
Right.
Every other day or so on and so forth. And then when I'm here or on, with Cofield, then I'll go live with that. But just to generate more visibility and to promote this show and whatnot and promote the freelance. I mean, when you're a freelancer like me, it's nothing but hustle and grind. You have no choice but to continue to enterprise and hustle and grind and try to, hustle your paycheck every single day in some way, shape, or form. So, yeah. Anyway. So, yeah, I'll definitely be in – I don't have YouTube TV, so do you have to be a subscriber for this show? Or is it just going to be on YouTube?
Ooh, that is a good question. I don't know about that,
okay,
but
I'm
going to
have you research and get back to me on Friday when I'm back on.
Absolutely.
Back in the bag?
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
All right, so speaking of shows, we are big on TV shows here. I definitely got to watch this documentary on Michigan football. So if you remember, before I left for my trip, we did the big – right, we were talking about what show I should watch.
Yep.
And I ended up doing Friday Night Lights. But now the show that I'm watching is You.
You.
It's now, I'm on the second season. It's four seasons deep. This dude is wild. If you took the main character, and put him with Dexter, you could have a complete study on how to get away with murder.
Yeah, I've seen the show, actually.
Oh,
And what's funny is about that show, I think it's like a teenage heartthrob type show. Like a lot of teenage girls got into it. The reason I learned about it was because of my, at the time, I think she was like 18-year-old sister. She's like, you got to watch this show. It's murderous. It's like Dexter. You'll like it. I'm watching it, and I'm like, yeah, the guy's scary. The guy's intimidating. But at the same time, there's this weird vibe of the show where it's like, oh, he's crazy. He's a killer. But let's try and get these girls to like him a little bit.
Right.
Weird.
I mean, Dexter, it's understood why he became the fan favorite. But with this one, it's a little sadistic. So I don't know. But all right. Well, good show today, Griffin.
Great show
from Cofield. Don't forget Parkway Tavern. Barry Odom Show coming up at the top of the hour. back with Cofield and Company tomorrow, live from Circa. So make sure you tune in, 3 to 6. Once again, thanks for tuning in. We out.